der Podcast vom DOG11.
Herzlich willkommen zum Podcast vom DOG11. Schön, dass ihr wieder eingeschaltet habt. Mein Name ist Lisa Oettinghaus und ich führe euch wie immer durch unsere Interviews mit spannenden Insights vom DOG11. Heute starten wir mit einer neuen Rubrik, die ich mir ausgedacht habe, nämlich das DOG Art, unser Theater, und seine Festivals und Performances, wo wir euch die Künstler hinter unseren Tanzproduktionen und Festivals und auch Workshops vorstellen wollen. Ein Festival, welches dieses Jahr stattfinden wird, ist das B12-Festival. Also zumindest lass uns die Daumen drücken, dass es so stattfinden wird, wie wir es gern hätten. Nämlich so, dass ihr auch alle hier ins Studio kommen könnt. Und um mehr darüber zu erfahren, habe ich mir die Social-Media-Expertin Elia Rachel Rayner eingeladen. Hallo Elli, schön, dass du da bist.
Ja, hallo, danke.
Endlich haben wir es geschafft, uns zu treffen. Elli, we actually decided to switch to English, since you're from one of the most beautiful countries in the world, I find.
Yes.
Where are you from, Elli?
I am originally from South Africa, but I've actually been living in Berlin now for about 7 years.
And what brought you here?
I moved here fresh out of high school on a whim. I started working. I didn't have much of a plan, but then I eventually fell in love with Europe and I've had Berlin as my base ever since.
Yeah, true. I know that about you because we actually know each other from a different place where we work together as managers.
Yes.
And I remember that what you liked a lot about Germany or to live in Europe is that you used your time to travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I totally understand that. Elli, before we dive into the B12 Festival, I would love to get a little bit deeper into your art as a content creator. And over the past few years, you have worked with a number of different companies, like where we met in a cafe, bar, event space. And I know that you also worked in lots of different places. And you had the opportunity to actually discover and teach about the power and benefit of social media in advertising, but also as a way to connect with the audience, which I love. You're saying about yourself that you strive to know the ins and outs of something that can be used as a voice to promote dance and to understand the culture of dance. I love this sentence you actually told me beforehand. And you also said that you believe that a strong sense of community can be created not just in reality, but also online or digital. And that is a very interesting job you have there, especially nowadays, since now we are forced to go digital. Can you tell us a little bit more about the ins and outs of your work as a content creator, or to put it in your words, about the power and benefits of social media in art or in dance?
Well, I do believe very strongly that it has such a power to influence our lives on a daily basis. It inspires us in so many ways. And so it really depends on how you see social media, if it is a place where you go for inspiration or somewhere where you go to become informed. It's a form mm-hmm. of advertising. So I think that it can be used for so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a powerful tool, especially for our generation in this present time where everything is online and we're stuck indoors and we can't really mm-hmm. go anywhere, or it's a good place to just to find that inspiration that we're all kind of searching for, I think.
Yeah, totally. And you, I think what's so special about you is that you kind of grew up in this transformation, right? Like, you know, also a life without social media.
Yes.
And then you have been an artist yourself, or you are still an artist, I would say, as a content creator. It's a huge art as well. But you also have been a dancer before. And that I find so interesting, that you are also using your knowledge about social media, but then you also have been a dancer. So I think that makes you an expert in the field of doing social media for art, or especially for dance. So tell us a little bit about that, about you being a dancer. Been a dancer.
Yeah, I love it. I love that I was able to come back into the dance world after mm-hmm. a few years of being away from it. I actually grew up as a ballet dancer. I was trained from a very young age. And I completed my advanced 2 and finished high school, moved to California where I was an assistant teacher and an intern for a school in California. And then I moved to Berlin and didn't really have the means to continue dancing. I kind of put all my focus into full-time work, and I found it really schade that I couldn't carry on with it. But my heart for it was always there, and I always knew that it would be a part of my life somehow. Mm-hmm. So eventually when Johannes and Evangelos approached me to work for them with B12, I was like, wow, mm-hmm. I've struck gold here, that I get to continue to be part of the dance world, a world that I so love and one that I've been trained in and one that I've taken so much from all mm-hmm. my life. Mm-hmm. That has really inspired me so much to be able to continue running in that world and be a part mm-hmm. of it. It feels like such an honor and such a gift.
Mm-hmm. Wow, it sounds beautiful. So you have been a dancer yourself. And then, as I said, as you also mentioned, you worked with different companies. You have been a barista and like lots of other things. And you used your knowledge and your passion about social media to actually work also for other companies. Now you dived into the dance world. How did this happen for you, that you said, I want to do social media professionally? Was it very organic? Did it just happen and people saw that you're talented with your own profile? Or
it was definitely a process, I would mm-hmm. say. I started out kind of just using my own Instagram as a creative outlet, and I got into photography early on in my time in Berlin, and it started out with, you know, product photography and working with various different companies, but always trying to stay true to myself, always working with companies that I believed in, ones that had products that I believed in and that I would use for myself, kind of thing, one that I would really want to represent, and one where my style of photography would also shine through. And so it kind of started there and developed. And I was looking for remote work at the time in South Africa, because I was there for the past 2 years, kind of during the corona time. And I was approached by Johannes and Evangelos for B12. They wanted me to work for them, and I was just blown away by the opportunity where I could put together my love for dance and art, mm-hmm. photography and writing, and then social media marketing. I thought, this actually mm-hmm. can't be real. But here we are. I still mm-hmm. am completely blown away by the opportunity to this day, and I'm still working for them. And to be able to promote and advertise a company that I really believe in, mm-hmm. One that creates such an incredible opportunity for dancers all over the world, I think it's such an incredible thing to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So you started working with social media, to use social media also in dance and promoting dance. What is your, I don't know if you already have it, but your perspective on the status or value of social media and dance? Do you think that it gives a lot to it, that we are using social media to advertise dance? Or do you think it takes something from it? Like, do you have a personal perspective on it, of the value of social media?
I think that it can be incredibly valuable when it's used correctly mm-hmm. to inspire and inform, I think, as the main goal, and obviously to promote and advertise. And yeah, I think that it is also such an incredible tool to use for expression, especially in creativity, because dance is a form of art. It's one of the most beautiful forms of expression. And so using that as a tool, I think it can be so powerful, so valuable, especially to companies that need to advertise and put out their work and inform communities and people of what they're doing to keep them up to date and to keep them involved. I think that that's also an amazing tool when you want people to feel part of something greater than just an online platform, if you can actually bring them in mm-hmm. and break the wall. That is so powerful. And I think that that is one of the main goals that we kind of strive to achieve in advertising and social media content creation, mm-hmm. so that we can invite people to be a part of something greater than just an online presence.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think, like, I'm just thinking, so there's a generation of dancers who are maybe my age or older, you all don't know how old I am, and I'm not going to tell you. But there's different generations, you know, like the new generation is coming up in social media, in dance. And do you have the feeling that it's already catching all of the generations? Because I can just imagine that it's a thing you use and a thing you feel comfortable with and where you totally believe in. But do you also have the feeling that it's grabbing the whole width of generations?
Yeah, I would actually not think so. Uh-huh. I think it is quite specific in its target. It also depends, like, the kind of age group that you want to reach with your content. And I think that it is really doing its job in a way, and it is a way. And I think that that's all we need right now. We need more ways to reach people, more ways to have that sense of community. And whether or not it's reaching the older generation, we are making an effort towards that. And we are trying to bring more people in. I don't think that it is exclusive in any way. It just depends if people are really in tune with technology and social media and what their approach is. Because, I mean, people even our age don't want to really have anything to do with social media, and they miss out on that. But then again, it is still good to keep other forms of advertising and inspiration alive. So it's not all online, and that is something to be thankful for.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's dive a little bit into the festival itself. What is, let's say someone, and yeah, that can actually happen, doesn't know anything about the festival. Can you tell us what it is about? Is it just workshops, or is there more behind it?
B12 is the festival for contemporary dance and performance art that was founded by Johannes Wieland and Evangelos Paulinas in May 2015,
oh,
I believe.
Wow. Yeah,
and
yeah.
It takes place in Berlin each summer, inviting choreographers from all over the world to join us, ones mm-hmm. that don't already really have a presence in Berlin. And it gives them an opportunity to teach students who are eager to learn and mm-hmm. and who want to sharpen their techniques and an approach to dance. It goes really in depth in all different styles, and there's so much on offer every year. I really do think that it creates an experience for mm-hmm. dancers that they will never forget. Mm-hmm. And that is ultimately what they wanted to offer dancers, just mm-hmm. an opportunity to come together with teachers and mentors that are coming in from all over mm-hmm. with different approaches to dance, different methods and kind of research that mm-hmm. they can offer and that students mm-hmm. can then learn from and use for the rest of their lives. It is mm-hmm. such an incredible opportunity mm-hmm. and I'm so excited to be a part of it and actually see it unfold this year.
That sounds amazing. So I actually went on the website of B12 Festival and I hit the button. What was it called? Planet B12. Can you tell me what that is?
Yes. It's not such a mystery. It's actually very exciting as well. This is an online platform that was created for us to all enjoy surrounding the year and leading up to the festival. Ah. And we organize different events for people to take part in. Lately, it's all been online, actually, because of the obvious mm-hmm. circumstances. Mm-hmm. And there are often film screenings and online workshops via Zoom with some of the choreographers that join us at the festival. And I think that this also, I mean, I receive messages all the time from dancers all over the world thanking B12 for creating endless opportunities for them to remain connected somehow and to constantly keep growing throughout the year. And that they offer these experiences. And I think it is amazing that they put so much thought into keeping dancers inspired. Mm-hmm. And this is where it's kind of the root of creativity. It's inspiration and having this feeling that is then paired with research and mentorship from other teachers. And then it just has such a power to grow.
So also beforehand, like before the festival starts, I don't think we mentioned it. It starts on the 2nd of July till the 1st of August.
Yes.
So we can already expect performances now. They're already happening. If I go on the website, I can find them easily.
Yes. Well, there are obviously, as I mentioned, screenings and then online workshops at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And who are the teachers we can be excited about?
Yeah, the list is so long.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend that everyone who's listening to this podcast goes on to our website, www.b12.space, to check out the incredible list of over 80 choreographers and teachers that will be joining us this year. I'm personally very excited to meet Christina Mezzani.
This is the name. I didn't want to say it out loud because I didn't want to be unfair, but she is my favorite.
Yeah, and she's been in partnership with Evangelos Paulinas for, I think, 20 years. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be so amazing to see what she comes up with. And there are a couple other people on the list that I'm very excited about, Guy Nada. I've also just been introduced to all these new teachers since being here, and as I've been posting the work through their social media, I'm just constantly inspired personally myself. Like, I actually get excited just talking about it and just thinking about it. And then to see them and meet them and see what they create in real life, I think is going to be an absolute dream come true.
Are you going to be part of it?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I would love to just be a fly on the wall at all times. But if I could take part in some of the workshops, I think that would be incredible. What an opportunity. But I also really hope that it is going to run as we hope it to, due to regulations, although we will adhere to those.
That's my next question. Are you prepared to do it online in case of emergency?
Well, I know that we did that last year. So I think that we will do what we did, and it seemed to run really well. I only joined them in August last year, so I think that it'll also be something new to me, whichever way it goes, but we really are very hopeful that it'll work out this year.
So I suppose that all of our listeners are really excited about it now, and they all want to register now. So how do I apply or register? Is there a way on the website or...?
Yes, you can apply for all of the research workshops, the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10-day workshops, somatic workshops, outreach, and framing in motion. There is so much on offer this year, from dance to film to text to movement to acrobatics to theatrical to experimental to the unexpected and futuristic. It is really going to be such an explosion of dance and creativity of every kind. I mean,
I didn't know
of the arts.
I thought it was just dancing.
That's why it's called originally the Festival for Contemporary Dance and Performance Art.
Ah, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can actually apply from now up until one day prior to the workshop of your choice. And there are two options to apply, either via the website itself, www.b12.space, as I mentioned before, or you can send us an email at researchordie@b12.space with the workshops that you would like to take with a video link and a biography attached.
So a video link about the own work?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And if you would like, you can add a short motivation letter to your application.
So you are prepared for online and we know how to register. But do we already know how this whole thing started? Like you mentioned already that it was founded by Johannes Wieland and Evangelos Paulinas.
Yes. And I think that their names are actually very familiar in the dance world.
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. They have been, or Johannes has been, the choreographer for the Kassel Staatstheater for a long time. Mm-hmm. So people know him.
Yeah. And as choreographers and teachers themselves, they noticed through the course of their careers that there was this gap that needed filling. There were not enough opportunities in Germany where dancers were able to dance with internationally renowned choreographers.
Definitely. That's so true.
Yes. And so they wanted to create this opportunity. And I think that they've done such an incredible job of it by bringing teachers in from all over. And that are of every style of dance. And like I just mentioned before, so many different approaches to art and creativity.
That's so true, because especially like living in Berlin as a dancer, when I came here first, I had the feeling, okay, there is more teachers, at least more than in other small towns in Germany. But all the classes, whenever there were teachers coming from outside, were so packed. So yeah, there was definitely a gap. And we can see that because the B12 Festival actually has lots of dancers coming to take classes with those renowned teachers. Yes.
It's amazing.
Okay, so let's wrap it up a little. Since I have you here as a social media expert, I was actually wondering what your perspective is on social media and dance. We already started talking a little bit in the beginning about it. But what do you think, where goes the focus digitally and also in content? Do you have a perspective on that, like in personally?
Well, I actually think that it is becoming more and more difficult to start fresh with social media. But on the other hand, there is absolutely no limit. So I think that when we are creating new content for social media and using it as a tool for inspiration and influence in our culture, and we're reaching communities and bringing them in, I think that there's absolutely no limit, which means that we can only ever grow. And that's the exciting thing. I think that's where we're going. We are going to new heights in all senses of the word. I think that we're reaching all sorts of new kind of realms with content creation. You can see it on every platform. And I think that is so exciting. And it's going to be amazing to see how it is used. And I do hope that it's constantly used in a positive way, to influence creatives and to create community online rather than any separation. And I think that using just tools and approaches of love and kind of humanity, it'll be very powerful in the long run.
So do you actually think that there's a change happening, like how social media is actually affecting the dance scene?
I do think that the dance scene is obviously more effective in reality. So I think that if everything happens online, it kind of takes the spotlight away from the true power of the existence of theater, for instance. We do need to keep theater alive. So I think that it's good to not kind of detract from it, but still put emphasis on this form of art needs to be kept alive. We need to still continue to support dancers and artists all over the world. We need to support theaters and spaces where this art is created. And so that's why it's so important to use it as a tool of inspiration and influence and advertising, as I've mentioned many times in this chat. And and of course, our generation and the generation after us spends way more time looking at a screen and on social media rather than making the effort to actually go to a show, for instance. But even so, the exposure of an online presence and successful marketing strategies, as well as exciting creative content that we're able to share, is what piques the interest of the people out there, and that's what essentially brings them in and makes them feel part of something greater. Yeah. And that's how we keep it alive.
Yeah, I totally get what you say. The thing is, like me coming from a generation where I'm not using social media so much, and also where it wasn't used as much in dance, or at least in the time I was being a dancer, is that the first thought I had, and I know we talked a little bit about it before, what I was wondering is, does a social media content of, let's say, a dance clip claim the work of a piece shown on a theater stage? Or is it trying to claim or replace that moment which used to happen on stage? And me, from my generation, I think like, this can be dangerous, because I know for me, as a fact at least, that it's different to see a dance piece on stage, because all the vibes, all the feelings, this the breath you feel, the wind you feel, all that you don't have on a clip. On the other hand, I know, of course, that it also is giving something to it to have it also online. And this is also what the situation is asking for. And I hope that we're getting really good as dancers and choreographers to actually put a piece, which usually happens on stage and with a real audience, and that we're doing a good job in like putting it in a film and like using 3D and whatever we can actually do mm-hmm. to make it real. But like, especially in social media, when I see those little dance clips and people trying out different things, I love that it gets creative and that people are using this medium. But also sometimes I feel it can be also dangerous, you know. Dangerous is too much, but it can also take a little bit away.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I say it is so important to continue to support dancers and keep theater alive, because we do need to go back to that organic experience of performance and art, and that there is nothing so powerful as seeing something in reality. We will never be satisfied with just seeing it on screen. And I think that that is the beauty. It can, even with all the special effects and making it feel like it's realistic, it'll never really be the real thing. And that's what we need, really. I think that it's such a beautiful thing to experience. And that's why every time I watch Swan Lake in real life, I can't help but cry, because it's such a beautiful experience seeing it happen right before your eyes rather than on a screen. And that's why social media can be such a powerful tool. It can also really take away from life in a way if we aren't careful with it. And that's why I think that we need to keep on finding reasons to get outside and push the limits and pursue our goals and kind of use it as a form of inspiration mm-hmm. rather than anything that detracts from real life, because all of the beauty is really happening before our eyes, and mm-hmm. and we have to keep finding the reason to pursue that. That in a way means that it can kind of be seen as a blessing and a curse for our generation. Mm-hmm. But I still think that when used positively, that it can really do so much good mm-hmm. and it can be used to the benefit of whoever is trying to share something with people. And that is ultimately the goal, to keep us all connected, to keep us all
exactly
feeling like we are part of something at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, that was a beautiful last sentence at the end of the day. Well, Ellie, thank you so much for this chat, and yeah, to let us dive a little bit into your world and also to the world we all know about but maybe didn't know so much about, and especially also to get to know B12 Festival.
Yes, please all go and register before it's too late. It really is going to be such an incredible experience, and I can't wait to be a part of it.
And we're going to see you there.
Yes, definitely. I can't wait to meet all of the team that are involved. I know that they are all really, really incredible, very talented people. And so it's going to be exciting. And thank you so much for having me on your podcast today.
You are so welcome. I really enjoyed it. And I'm also going to stop by the B12 Festival. So if you want to see me in as a real person, you can go. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. And till next time, goodbye.